For a moment, Geoffrey Herlings thought he could have been paralysed. The motocross star was the red-hot favourite for last year's MXGP World Championship title until everything changed in September. The 2018 World Champions campaign was completely derailed by a horrendous head-first crash in free practice at the Grand Prix of Città di Faenza in Italy. Footage from that incident is not easy to watch. The impact was so powerful, Dutchman was unable to move, and he lay motionless on the track. In his words, he thought that was going to be game over. Thankfully, Herlings' injuries were not as bad as first feared. He was incredibly lucky, and he knows it. But that crash has changed his outlook on life, and his outlook on how he approaches racing for the Red Bull KTM Factory Racing team. With the 2021 campaign scheduled to start in a couple of months' time, all focus is now on winning the World Championship again. But as Geoffrey explains in this episode, it's also about enjoying things a lot more now, rather than putting an intense amount of pressure back on his shoulders. Geoffrey, welcome to the show. Great to have you on the podcast. I know we're going to be talking about a lot of things at the moment, but first off, how are you this morning? Because I gather it's a busy time right now.
Yeah, you know, a lot of media things going on this morning, but I'm good. Thank you for asking. Hope you're good as well. And yeah, just waiting for the season to restart, you know, after those whole corona pandemic. So, yeah.
Definitely. I think there's a lot of eagerness for things to get going, thanks to COVID and that whole situation. And that's essentially my first question, because a lot of our sporting guests have been in a similar position where COVID restrictions, lockdown rules have affected a lot of things in their lives, preparation for their sports as well. How has it been for you? How have you found it sort of managing training, competing, but also just, I suppose, living your life at the same time?
As for my daily life, not too much things change. Like, I never really go to festivals or to pubs or drinking or going so often to restaurants or whatsoever. So for my daily life, not so much has changed. Just like, you normally we're flat out racing right now. You know, when you're in April, we basically race every weekend. Well, now we're just sitting home on the couch on the weekends and we're just training like Monday to Friday. And yeah, so that really has changed from a sport of perspective. But you know, this is the world right now where we're living in. So hopefully we start racing again soon. But, you know, in this time, it's so hard to plan things. And also, you know, the calendar came out and got rechanged and a new calendar came out and got changed again. So for now, you know, it's just waiting to see when we'll start racing. But I think in 2 months' time or something would be realistic.
Exactly. Fingers crossed it does.
Yeah, sure.
Happens and soon enough anyway. But in terms of preparation, you are gearing up to the 2021 season. How has the preparation changed compared to, say, last season before we had the pandemic?
Obviously, we started riding in November, like we always do, because at the beginning, you know, the calendar was pronounced to start racing, I believe, in April. I'm not sure, but I think in April or something. So we just wanted to make sure we would be ready for April. But then, you know, the calendar got delayed till May, then end of May, then June. Now I think it's like somewhere middle of June. So when we started the preparation, we thought, you know, okay, we have to be ready by April or something, because then the races will start. But yeah, so really, like, for preparing, not so much has changed, because we just thought we had 1 month delay, which turned out to be like three or something for now.
Yeah, I think we can all relate to delays at some stage in our lives, can't we?
Yeah.
For those listening to this, and we cover a lot of different sports on here, so there's always a wide range. But for people who aren't perhaps familiar with motocross and the championship, how would you describe it to someone who's not familiar with it?
That's difficult to describe this sport. Obviously, yeah, just racing dirt bikes. You know, most people know what dirt bikes is. Most of them probably know Rossi and MotoGP and Marc Marquez, but it's not quite the same, but it looks a bit like this. Just we're on not on asphalt, but we're racing on in sand and mud and dirty dirt. So yeah, motocross is just a very intense sport, very difficult sport, very high risk sport as well. You have to love it or you can hate it. You know, a lot of green people hate the sport. A lot of people love the sport. So it's, yeah, a love or hate thing. And yeah, there's two wheels and you try to make donuts as fast as possible.
That's a good description of it, I think it's fair to say. Yeah. The intensity part, the exciting part, and the high risk part as well, which we'll talk about in a bit more depth later on. How did you get into it first off as a child?
My father used to be a motocross rider, so that's basically how it all gets started, because my brother was riding or racing or whatever, just a little bit amateur level. My father was racing like on high Dutch level, let's say, and he was also racing GPs, but I think his best result was like a fourth or a fifth, so he never was really a world champion or a superstar, but he was doing really good. He was one of the best Dutch riders at his age and at his time. And we're talking about probably like freaking 40 years back. So it's been a while, but yeah, that's how it started.
Was it sort of just that you were naturally good at it? You were naturally enjoyed it, or you just had the talent for it from the get go?
Yeah, definitely. You know, like as a child, I was mostly winning. Also started at Dutch level, and then, you know, you work your way up to European level and then to on a world level. But yeah, definitely from a young age, I was pretty good at racing dirt bikes, yeah.
In terms of your inspirations, I imagine your dad is probably right up there as an inspiration for you.
Well, thanks to him and basically my family, it did start, you know, because at that time there were no iPhones, there were no, I mean, we're talking about more than 20 years back, you know, you didn't have the iPhone and you open a YouTube and you start watching videos and things you basically like. But so yeah, you know, when we were younger, we went out playing in the woods and we rode dirt bikes and got dirty and break bones and different than now, you know. Well, a lot of kids are just on the iPads and things like that. Things have changed, but yeah, that's what I was doing. Like when I got back from school, just start riding a dirt bike, and I was living close to a big woods where we built some small tracks as children. You know, we went there with a, I don't even know what you say in English, to shuffle or whatever, to build some tracks. And yeah, that's how it go.
Yeah, like you say, times have certainly changed, and I think we're a similar age, so that's you know, I can kind of relate to that. Maybe not so much the building tracks myself, but not having iPhones, not having iPads, not having YouTube to jump onto. Does that kind of sum you up then as a kid? Very energetic, very sporty, very active.
Yeah, I mean, I did play a little bit of PlayStation. I remember there was a PlayStation 1 or PlayStation 2, whatever was just out there. I did play a bit of that, but basically that's it. That's all I had. So that got pretty boring because they didn't have so much games. And at that time, it wasn't as great as it is now. So yeah, you know, that's what I did. Like going to school and come back from school, especially in summertime when it was light till like, I don't know, 9 or 10 in the evening before it got dark. You know, we always went out playing outside and got dirty and be very... I had a lot of energy, that's for sure.
I had a Dreamcast rather than a PlayStation. I was probably the only child that did actually have one. In terms of your sort of personality and your mental strength, what does it actually take to be a motocross rider? Because like you say, a lot of risk, a lot of intensity, but I suppose a lot of determination and mental strength on your part as well.
Yeah, sure. You know, you need to have, you should definitely not be a scared guy, because, you know, every day you go on the bike, there is everything you do in life, even when you're driving a car, you got a risk to die even, you know, like, but knowing you're riding on dirt bikes there, you know, there's a slightly higher chance of breaking bones and crashing and whatsoever, and accident might happen, you know, but I try to put the risk as low as possible, but when you do it like 3, 4, 5 times a week and you spend like 7, 8 hours on your bike, you know, it happens throughout a year or a few years that you get some crashes and you might get some injuries, and that's just part of the sport. But, you know, once again, going back to your question, yeah, you should really be a tough guy. You need to be physically strong, mentally strong. Yeah, sometimes I would say I need balls of steel, let's say.
That, definitely. Is that something you always had, or is it something you've got better at along the way and learned along the way?
It's something where I got better at throughout the years, because when I was 16, I wasn't scared. I never had any major injuries or whatsoever. And I would just, yeah, take way more risk. And also, I'm getting 27 later this year. So when I'm 16 or you're 26, you know, it makes a difference in your way of thinking, the way of how you behave, the way you act. So it's normal, you know, when you're 16 years old, you're like, screw the world. Let's just do whatever I want to do. And like when you're 26, you start respecting, appreciating things more. You think differently about sports, about life, about a lot of things. So throughout my career, things have definitely changed. Yeah.
Yeah, it certainly puts things into context when you get older and you have all those life experiences, like you say. There have been so many successes along the way. I could reel off a very long list. I suppose the standout would be the 2018 World Championship. Four world titles in total. For that 2018 victory, how do you describe the journey that took you there, and I suppose the highs and lows along the way?
Yeah, you know, it's a shame. Like the years after, I tried to defend, but twice, you know, last year I was actually leading the championship by a pretty big margin, and I got an injury again and didn't win the championship. But coming back to 2018, it was a great year. We had 20 races. I missed one due to an injury, but the other 19, you know, I finished on the podium on all of them. I basically won 17. Twice I got second. You know, I won so many things that year. So basically it was like a dream season, besides missing one race. It was only basically only highs that year. You know, things went really, really great, and we won a lot. So that was mega.
Was that the dream when you were young to get that world title?
Yeah, I mean, as a child and you love motocross and you love dirt bikes and you want to win the ultimate high, you either have to win an AMA Supercross title or you want to win a motocross world championship. And the motocross world championship was my dream as a child, and then to make it happen, it's pretty amazing.
Then to put this into context, some of the Olympic gold medalists, for example, that we've talked to on this podcast, and once they've achieved that, it can be hard to go again when you've achieved your dream, sort of thing. Was that something you had, or is it just you just want more and it just drives you for more?
I think Olympics is different because it's like once in the 4 years. So you basically train, you work your ass off for 4 weeks, for 4 years to get that gold medal. While we have an opportunity every single weekend throughout the summer, basically to win races and then to win a championship, you get a chance every single year. So if you just win a championship once, it's nice, but you want more of them, you know. Like it's a little bit different than Olympics. While Olympics, like once again, you get a chance once in the 4 years, we get a chance every single year. So it was a lot of weight out of my shoulders to finally say, okay, hey, I want a FEM Motocross World Championship. But at the same time, you know, right, in 6 months from now, we have to try to repeat the same thing, you know. So you finish racing like in September, October, and then you already start preparing end of November to be back racing end of February, you know. So you don't really have so much time to really enjoy it, that's it.
Yeah, it's almost like you're resetting your mind again to go again next season after, you know, enjoying it for however long it may be.
Yeah, you just enjoy it for like a month and then you have to start going back in training camp, let's say.
In terms of highlights in the sport, is that the big highlight so far, or do you put others up there as well?
I definitely had a lot of great races. You know, I've won 90 Motocross World Championship GPs. I don't know how many exactly, but like 150, 120 GP podiums somewhere near there. So I had a lot of great races, but I think, you know, the ultimate high was that 2018 FEM Motocross World Championship, yeah.
There's some staggering numbers on there, so I think that's something to be very, very happy about.
This podcast is a member of The Bear Internet Radio and Podcast Network. Find more great podcasts at thebear.live.
Mm-hmm.
make sure you follow Sportspiel on social media. Search for Sportspiel Pod on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or on LinkedIn.
Now, kind of moving on to some of the parts that you've alluded to, and this ties in with Red Bull, launching this brand new docuseries that follows the KTM factory racing team throughout last season, called MX World. It's a behind-the-scenes look at everything on and off the track for those who aren't in the know. But there is one episode that focuses on you specifically. And I suppose the incident that stands out is that awful headfirst crash that you suffered last season and were involved in. And I suppose that's what we're talking about when you know, you can be on this high of winning the 2018 World Championship and then something like that happens, and it completely changes the story and the narrative, doesn't it? Do you want to just take the listeners through what happened in that incident first and I suppose the injuries that you ended up sustaining?
Yeah, you know, I had an injury on my right foot at the time, from 2 years before, from a crash. You know, I never got really healed, and a lot of bone started growing after the injury, which had to be removed, but we didn't really have time throughout the season to do so because we didn't know when the season would restart. So we decided to do it after the season. So I always had to put my foot differently on the foot back, and I always put my heel a little bit on the foot back instead of my foot, so it didn't really hurt so much. But then my foot came off, and then I just went like, I just yard sell it, man. I just went like front wheel, like left, right, and then I just went over the bars, and then I like kind of front flip, but then my head went in the mud first, and my peak hit the mud while the peak of my visor, like kind of like a shuffle, it took the mud, and then made my head go like backwards. And then I did get a small crack in one of my bones in my neck, but it wasn't so bad. But because of the impact, it just made me go kind of knock out for like 30 minutes, you know. Like I wasn't knocked out like with my head, but like I couldn't stand up because I got such an impact on my where basically all the cables are going through, you know, for walking, nerves and whatsoever, got such an impact that I just didn't feel my leg. I didn't feel anything like 30 minutes. And after 30 minutes, things came back. Like within a few minutes, I got like full feeling. And I was like, this feels so good. But then at that time, when it just happened, I was like, oh, it's going to be game over now.
Watching the crash on the episode, because I watched it last night, and it does not get any like less worse the more times you watch it. It arguably gets more worse the times you watch it.
Yeah.
And I think you said in that episode as well, like when you were lying there trying to get up and you couldn't, what goes through your mind when like you're in that position?
Then I was like, if I recover from this one, I'll never ride a dirt bike again. Just because you let me recover from this one, I never ride a dirt bike again. That's what I was thinking when I was on the ground. But then, like 5 hours later, you just walk through the hospital like, my neck is a bit stiff, but you know, this is basically it. And then the doctor said, actually in 4 weeks you're good to go riding again. I was like, okay, like freaking 5 hours ago I was there being almost dead on the motocross track, and now actually I'm just walking around like nothing happened basically. So it turned out not too bad, let's say.
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of people said, like, in terms of like your injuries, you're really lucky with what you actually did sustain. How were your family with it at the same time? Because that I think back to, say, what happened with Roman Grosjean in F1 last year. And how his family dealt with it, as well as him dealing with it as well. I don't know if that's something that, you know, you've talked about, or if your family, who I imagine your family were very worried watching it as well, as they would be.
Yeah, I think especially for my mom, see, like the world would basically end it, you know, when you see your kid, even though I was 25 at the time, you know, I'm not like a 6-year-old kid anymore, but still, if you're child is there laying on the ground like giving symptoms of like he's being paralyzed, I think the world is ending, you know. So definitely she said you should stop, you know, you want everything you possibly could basically, so you should really stop. But then, you know, when time goes on and after 3-4 weeks you don't have any pain anymore and you're basically healed up completely, you're like, yeah, you know, let's go ride again, you know. But I believe also for parents, this is a difficult sport.
Is it still tough watching it back? Because there is that part in the episode as well where you're watching it back on the phone and still saying it's hard.
Yeah, definitely, you know, because you almost, because of that crash, you almost was like so close of almost spending the rest of your life in a wheelchair. So yeah, definitely it's definitely it's like a wake-up call, you know, to, you know, it's like a last warning kind of thing, you know.
Definitely. In terms of the recovery, how tough was that, I suppose, both physically and also mentally, having to bounce back when, like I think we said before, you're one, if not the main favorite for the title that year, and then suddenly everything changes again?
I mean, physically it wasn't so bad, because 4 weeks after I didn't feel anything has happened. Even like I just was stiff, like I slept back like 3 or 4 nights because I had a lot of pain, like just being stiff. But after 4 days I was basically fine, and after 3 weeks I could do anything I wanted in life. So the physical part wasn't so bad, but the mental part, like knowing you were almost paralyzed from your chin down and losing another championship, and you know, we were looking so good, like so strong, so consistent that year, last year, that was tough. But you know, things happen, and yeah, just have to accept and move on, right? I mean, you can think about it all day, all night, and you know, it also gives opportunity again this year. You know, we learned, and I had time to fix my foot during the time I was injured, so I could get that done as well. And yeah,
and I was going to mention that as the surgery on your foot, was that almost like a nice reset that you maybe needed going into this season?
Yeah, I mean, it's still not 100%, but it's much better as it was, you know. Like when I'm riding now, I'm not paying 300%, but I'm feeling good enough, and I feel like I can still raise like multiple years with it. So you know, so when something is smashed and something is broken, it will never really get to what it was before often. And this is one of those things, like in a foot, also I didn't notice so many bones. And if just like a few of them kind of exploded because of an impact, you know, there's a lot of cartilage getting damaged and getting gone. And yeah, the foot needs to be replaced on bones. So, you know, then it's actually better you just break your femur, let's say, and just put a rod in, and the thing heals, and you're good. You know, like 3 months after, you don't feel like anything's happened while on the foot. It's so small, so compact, and maybe it's just a few inches big what's been broken, but like throughout your rest of your life, it could give a pretty big impact, you know. So but for now I'm doing okay, so it's good.
Yeah, good to hear. Yeah. How has it I suppose changed your outlook on maybe life, but also yourself in sport as well?
You know, I love the sport. I love doing it. Definitely, once you get older, you get different interests and different kind of things you enjoy doing, and it, like spend time with family more. And like when I was 16, I hated going to a restaurant and sit down all evening with people I maybe don't even like. And then, like now, when you go to a restaurant, evening, just fun sitting there all evening, talk, and you're not that rushed, you know. So, yeah, definitely throughout my career, like I mentioned before, things have changed, and. Also, this injury has made me realize how blessed I am with many things. You know, definitely, I'm blessed I'm not blessed on some things, but on a lot of things, I do am blessed. And you start enjoying also that a bit more.
There was one thing that you mentioned in the episode, where I think you explained that before the injury, you'd maybe been working too hard, and that afterwards, it's more about just enjoying the sport again, and then the results will come if you enjoy it. Is that very much the frame of mind that you're now in?
Yeah, I think when I had an injury with my foot, it really happened because of that, because I was so lean. I was like under 6% body fat. I just was working, like I was basically training morning, midday, evening. Only thing I was doing was basically training. And then at one point I was just so tired, and then that's why I crashed, and then my foot injury happened actually. So now I just enjoy racing and riding. I mean, it's hard to say if I enjoy racing because I haven't raced for a while because there's no races at the moment, but I enjoy riding a lot and enjoy just being there on track. And I feel like the result, I mean, definitely the result counts, but even, you know, I just want to have fun. I think then the result will come by itself naturally. I used to always have the feeling like, hey, when I go out racing, I need to win. I want to win. If I don't perform, the team will get upset, and the sponsors won't be happy, and my family won't be happy. I won't be happy. But now I'm like, okay, I just go out, do my best. And if it's a fifth, it's a fifth. I ain't going to take the risk to probably yard sale again. I'm just going to do my best. If my best is a fifth, everybody has to take it, and it is like it is. And I think with that behavior, I think it's the best way to maybe be injury free, you know, but time will tell.
Exactly. But like you say, it does sound like it's a happier medium, if that makes sense, a happier balance anyway.
Yeah.
So looking ahead then to the 2021 season, which I suppose will eventually get underway with your home Grand Prix. What can we expect from you and the team in terms of races?
I think from the team, we as KDM, they have a great team, and I think it's maybe the most strong and powerful team in the paddock right now. Obviously, it's a personal opinion, but you know, you see throughout the years how many championship KDM has brought in the last 10 years, as well as an MX2 class, as an MXGP class. So, but definitely the competition is coming strong. You know, there's a lot of brands who wants to compete with KDM, as Honda, as Yamaha, as Kawasaki. There's a lot of teams who also want to win and try to beat KDM and beat their riders. So, but I think we have a strong lineup with KDM, with me, Prado, and Caroli. We'll wait and see. But I just try to really enjoy it, and then the results will come. Definitely, I want to win a championship, but I'm not gonna say today like, hey, I need to win this championship. You know, I'm just gonna go out, have fun, and do the best I possibly can.
Mm-hmm. And that, like, I suppose is the big difference, isn't it, in you in previous seasons versus you now?
Yeah, then I always went line up. I was like, hey, I need to win the championship. If I don't win this championship, if I don't win this race, I messed up, you know? So now I'm like, okay, if I don't win, I don't win. If I finish fifth, I finish fifth. And I'll just, yeah, and try to enjoy.
Yeah, and then move on to the next one if it does, you know, if you do happen to finish fifth, for example. You mentioned Balls of Steel right at the start. Is that, again, something that comes into it so that, you know, I suppose it's blocking out those awful incidents in your mind because I can't think of anything worse, perhaps, as a rider, if that suddenly you get that flashback almost when you're in the race type thing.
You can't go racing and think like, hey, you know, I was like 6 months ago, I was laying here on the, maybe you're racing on the same track this year, and you like go over the jump, you're like, hey, 6 months ago, I was here being almost paralyzed. If you think that, then just back up yourself, mate, go home. So you can't really think like that. You know, you just have to move on. You definitely, in the back of your mind, you know what happened, but you can't keep thinking about it.
And in terms of your preparation, which we touched on at the start with like COVID restrictions and things like that, but in terms of your own preparation, is there anything you're doing differently this season compared to past seasons?
Yeah, we're not racing in April. That's something different. Physically wise, you know, I'm just making sure I'm ready whenever the gate needs to drop. I'm just playing safe on the weight side. Like, I'm a little extra right now, so, you know, I don't need to be that low on weight for my position, you know, for so many months if we're not racing yet. So just try to be sharp whenever I needed those 6 months period, or 4 months, or however we might be racing this year. No, for the rest, I'm just riding a lot now, like 3-4 times a week, just to enjoy and yeah, you know, I got more time at home now, so more time to chill, let's say.
We've all got more time at home, don't we?
Yeah.
My last couple of big questions, really. If you look at yourself when you first got into the sport, and you look at yourself now, what do you think is the biggest thing you've learned about yourself?
To use my brain a bit more, even though I didn't use my brain so much when I was younger. I would yard sell triple of the amount of times, but I would always walk away for some reason. Now, when I hit the deck, I'll break something. but I do think, like, I use my brain more. I'm like more smart rider as I was before. I'm not as dominant, but that's because the competition came, been working so hard as well, and came closer and closer and closer. But I think like I really developed as a rider and being more smart and more intelligent and taking less risks.
Are you the type of person that's going to thrive off of that competition as well? The fact that it's coming up?
Because they're coming closer and closer, it's hard, you know, like, because I'm limited in my possibilities now because of my foot injury, let's say. So I'm not able to run anymore. I'm always not in a lot of pain, but in a little bit of pain. So I can't take 100% of my career anymore. But yeah, I feel like the brands are pushing more, like a Yamaha, a Honda, like they weren't as competitive. It seems like they weren't as competitive 10 or 12 years ago as they are right now. So yeah, them being so competitive and a lot of good riders came up throughout the years and they got more professional and riders got more professional and teams did. So yeah, that helped getting MXGP into a bigger and better competition, but at the same time, it made it way harder for me to win.
Exactly. And my final question is, your sport, how important is it to you? And has it ultimately made you into the person you are today?
Yeah, because thanks to this sport, I got everything I have right now. You know, friends, people I'm working with, the things I got through and thanks to my sport. So yeah, the sport has made me what I am today. Yeah.
Very well said. And that's something we always bang on about on this podcast is how important sport is, whether you're an elite athlete or whether you're someone like me and you just do it on your weekends.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jeffrey, so much for coming onto the podcast today. Sure. Great to chat to you. And good luck whenever the season does get underway. I'll do a final point to anyone listening to go watch that docuseries, because that episode is particularly eye-opening when you look back at what happened last year. So I wish you all the very best in the chase of that next world title. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you so much, mate. See ya.
A huge thank you to Jeffrey, to Red Bull, and to the PHA Group for the help in organising this interview. We hope everyone enjoyed what was a really eye-opening conversation, and we wish Jeffrey the very best when racing finally gets back underway. A final couple of messages from me. If you enjoyed the podcast, please spread the word on social media. It's how this show grows and how it attracts its listeners. And if you fancy, please leave us a review on the podcast app of your choice, as it helps other people find us as well and bumps us up the chart rankings. Do follow us on social media for all the updates on what we're doing. All of our handles are at SportSpielPod, and you can get in touch with us by email. Our address is sportspielpod@gmail.com. A quick word as well for our radio station partners, The Bear. You can hear our episodes every Monday night at 10 p.m. More information about The Bear is available at thebear.live. A link to that is in the show notes of this podcast. That's it for us on this episode, everyone. Hope you're enjoying the fact that restrictions have eased. We have a bit of an exciting project coming up in May. All will be revealed very soon. But until then, take care, and we will see you next time.